From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with this look at state and local news. A new study from Alaska Native Tribal Health Center shows that cancer rates among Alaska Native people have gone up for over the last half century. Researchers say the data points to opportunities for prevention. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
The most common cancers among Alaska Native people are breast, colorectal, and lung cancer. With screenings like mammograms and colonoscopies, they can be detected and treated early. Yet, cancer remains the leading cause of death for Alaska Native people, and it has been for decades.
This is outrageous. You know, why are we not at war with this thing? Why are we not doing more?
Eric Fox lost his mother to cancer in 2017. Within months, he was serving on the state's advisory board to the American Cancer Society. He says you'd be hard-pressed to talk to anyone in the Alaska Native community that hasn't lost someone close to them to cancer.
It's happening every day. You know, one-fifth of our deaths in the Alaska Native community are attributed to cancer.
Fox's mother died after a long battle with colorectal cancer. Data collected by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium showed that Alaska Native people have the highest rates of colorectal cancer in the world. That rate of that cancer has been constant over the last half century, while the incidence among U.S. white people has gone down. It's a growing disparity.
And this disparity has persisted for the entire time that we've had a cancer registry.
Sarah Nash is the Cancer Surveillance Director at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. She and her team collect cancer information in a tumor registry for all Indigenous people living in the state of Alaska.
These data provide a baseline from which we can then go away and ask other questions. And we can use this for the base of public health programming and research.
Screening for cancer is one element of prevention. Lifestyle choices like healthy diet, exercise, and quitting smoking can significantly reduce the risks. But she says cancer is a tough problem to solve. Each case has more than one contributing factor.
Every cancer is a different jigsaw puzzle. And so for one person, that jigsaw puzzle may look like smoking and historical trauma and lack of physical activity. And for another person, it might look completely different. It might look like genetics and diet and exposure to some kind of chemical or some kind of workplace exposure.
It's rare to have cancer data that spans 50 years, but the tumor registry at ANTHC does. This year, the data team released a report that compiles that data. Researchers say the findings are crucial to addressing higher rates of certain cancers and health disparities. For example, physicians usually recommend anyone over 50 years old be screened for colorectal cancer. But the registry showed Alaska Native patients tended to get the cancer at a younger age. So ANTHC changed the recommendation to people 40 years and older. Ayu Kasatuk, a breast cancer survivor, says she'd like to see more Alaska-specific protocols like that one.
At the time that I went through cancer as a young woman, younger than so-called normal, there were a number of other Alaska Native women who I was going through treatment with at the same time, who were having the exact same experience. Younger than, you know, the recommended age for annual mammograms and those kinds of things.
Kasatuk found her cancer by chance in her late 30s. She's been cancer-free for a few years, but she's still managing long-term health effects from treatment. She says if cancer messaging had been targeted to her demographic, she would have been more likely to pay attention and perform monthly self-checks. She says Indigenous knowledge could also be incorporated into cancer treatment. Things like plant medicine and ceremony helped heal her whole person. She says it's important to take a holistic approach when talking about health disparities, too.
We need to be able to really look at those things and be able to talk about them and not look at the statistics in isolation from the context that created them. I want to have those conversations about how we talk about health equity and the root causes of the inequities that we experience.
The cancer data highlights a hard reality, but Eric Fox, the advocate working with the American Cancer Society, says it's one that can change with more awareness. And he says medical recommendations are just one part of that solution. The other is changing what he calls a generational mindset of toughing things out.
We've got to make it okay in our community to have these conversations, to bring awareness, and ask the people that we love and care about to go and get these screenings.
Colonoscopies and mammograms can be a delicate subject, but he wants to eliminate those taboos. A little bit of discomfort can save a life. For KTOO, I'm Claire Strimple.
Alaskans all over the state are reporting getting calls from the U.S. Marshals Service threatening to charge or arrest them unless they hand over money. The U.S. Marshals Office says it's a scam. As KTOO's Matt Miller reports, it's a variation on phone scams that have been circulating in the rest of the country for years.
Here's the message that Alaskans from various parts of the state have been getting.
So now in order to connect to U.S. Marshals Office, please press 1, and your call will connect it to your case concern officer.
Also, please. Laurel Andrews of Fairbanks got that message.
I didn't call them back. I considered it, but I don't want them to have my number on their list or however it works.
Alaskans may be getting flooded with these calls, but they're actually not new. They're part of a scam that swept nationwide for the last several years. Usually the person being called is threatened with criminal charges or arrest if they don't hand over checking account or credit card numbers or personal information like a social security number to the U.S. Marshals Service.
We wouldn't call you and warn you that we're coming. We would be knocking on your door.
That's Deputy U.S. Marshal Rochelle Ledyke, who says they've received hundreds of reports from Alaskans about the fraud. The phone calls sometimes appear spoofed, which is when they look like they're from a local phone number.
First of all, if you don't recognize the number coming into you, don't answer the call. Let it go to voicemail. Do not respond to that voicemail. Again, this is not a actual U.S. Marshals Office contacting you. Please do not push any buttons. Do not provide any information to them. Just hang up on the call.
Ledyke says their office in Anchorage has been jammed with calls from Alaskans asking or notifying them about the scam. But she says the U.S. Marshals Service cannot investigate the calls. Neither can any local police department. The scammy calls may come and go in waves. So Ledyke urges Alaskans to go to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center or report fraud at the Federal Trade Commission website, especially if someone suspects they may have become a victim. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Alaskans in the state's jails and prisons will be allowed to receive visitors beginning on Friday, regardless of whether they're vaccinated for COVID-19. The Department of Corrections announced on Wednesday that it's getting rid of the requirement that inmates are vaccinated in order to receive visitors. Angela Hall runs a support group for loved ones of inmates. She says her group was considering legal action against the Department of Corrections over the vaccine requirement. She says it affected her since her husband, an inmate at a Kenai prison, was worried about side effects of the vaccine but felt pressure to get one under the previous policy.
We didn't think it was right that they would be, you know, discriminating between non-vaccinated and vaccinated people. So this kind of lifts that burden from him having to make the decision between his personal health and, you know, his wife's feelings and his feelings about, you know, visiting.
There are still limitations. Physical contact isn't allowed. Instead, visits will be limited to phone calls in a secure room between a glass barrier. And because of high demand for visits after a year of COVID restrictions, Hall says that most prisons are limiting visits to 45 minutes once per week.
It's basically one step up from nothing, you know, but at least it's something.
Anchorage Correctional Complex is still closed to visitors due to recent COVID-19 cases. About half of the 4,800 Alaskans in state custody have been vaccinated against COVID-19, according to official numbers. And Juneau City officials are reporting 2 new cases of COVID-19 on Wednesday. Juneau's active case count is at 13, with one person being treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. And for the first time today, city officials estimate that there are more people in Juneau that have completed their vaccine shot series than have not. That's an important milestone under the city's newly adopted mitigation measures. Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove says if other conditions stay stable, she anticipates dropping the city's risk level to 1B on May 12th. That's when people who received their second COVID second doses of the Pfizer vaccine are considered fully vaccinated. The lowest tier of community restrictions is possible when 70% of Juneau's total population is fully vaccinated. The risk level is tied to rules about masking, social distancing, indoor gatherings, and business operations. Anyone 16 or older who works or lives in Alaska can sign up to get vaccinated at juneau.org/vaccine or by calling 586-6000. This is KTOO News. I'm Jennifer Pemberton.